Two of the noblest professions in the world are those of nursing and doctoring. Of course, they have their trials. I know of one little boy who was listening to all kinds of television shows, reading detective stories, particularly those crime stories on television, dum-de-dum-dum. He had an earache, and his mother took him to the doctor. And the doctor said, which ear is aching, sonny? He said, that's for you to find out. I'm no stool pigeon. And then, of course, the psychiatrists have their own. Very often when people go in to see a psychiatrist, they think they're crazy, and when they come out, they think the psychiatrist is crazy. I think Irving Cobb once said that a man reaches middle age when he begins to exchange his emotions for symptoms. Well, whatever be the characteristic of middle age, may we more seriously tell you, first of all, the characteristics of a good nurse and then of a good doctor. A nurse, if she is to be truly noble, must have three things. They're going to be mad at me for the first one. They're going to be all cut up. The first, every nurse should have an incision. Second, she should have cheerfulness. And thirdly, a sense of the invisible. First of all, she should have an incision. Why? In order that she might properly appreciate pain. Now, it isn't necessary, of course, for every nurse to have a physical incision. Probably a mental incision would do just as well, so long as she appreciates the sufferings of others. It's easy enough to communicate ideas. For example, I can communicate to you the idea that two and two make four. But you cannot communicate a toothache. If one is to know what a toothache is, one must have it. And that is the great advantage of having gone through pain. One can appreciate the suffering of others. There's a world of difference between pity and compassion. Pity is an aristocratic virtue. It looks down on others. Compassion is a democratic virtue. It shares suffering and pain and feels it as its own. There will then be no professional coolness in the nurse, but an entering into, if possible, the agony and the pain and the fevers of others. That will be a first characteristic, and then a second characteristic will be cheer. There is nothing that so much contributes to the longevity of sickness as the long face of a nurse. It's so easy to come into a sick room with a smile. Some of them come in with needles, you'd think they were looking for targets. They have to do, of course, a number of unpleasant things. One thing I never can understand why they have to do, and that is to wake you up at 4:30 in the morning to wash your face. Some of them will shake you at 4 o'clock in the morning and say, "Did you sleep well?" And one of the reasons for cheerfulness is, of course, in order to help the patient. It's so easy to be kind to others and full of gladsomeness. Tolstoy tells the story of a shoemaker who was on his way home one day in St. Petersburg, and he passed the church door and he saw a beggar in the church doorway, and he invited him to his home. When he sat him down to table, whenever the wife complained and growled that the husband had brought home the stranger. The stranger's face seemed to wrinkle. And he got older and older. And whenever the wife was kind to him and offered him food, he became much younger, almost like a child. It developed that the stranger was an angel and could live only in the atmosphere of kindness. And that's the only way that patients can ever live, too, in an atmosphere of good cheer. Now, you take my own angel. When I pay his dues in Theatrical Union number 1, he almost gets so small and so youthful and so cherubic that he can hardly fly. And then a nurse to, if I have time, I do not know whether I will have time to develop all of these points. I might also add, though, that she has a sense of the invisible. By the sense of the invisible is meant that a real nurse will try to gain merit out of her profession. It's one of the easiest professions in the world to do good. And when one sees the sick, from a truly religious point of view, it will not be just a patient in room 204. Our blessed Lord said, I was sick, and you visited me. I was hungry, and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me to drink. And on the last day, the just, the nurses, the good nurses will say, when? When? When did we see you hungry and give you to eat? When thirsty did we give you to drink? When sick did we visit you? And he will say, when you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. Every fevered brow will be seen as a brow that was crowned with thorns, and every aching hand will seem to the nurse as one that has been pierced with nails. And every wounded foot will be one that was riven with steel. And every aching heart will be one that knew the unkind kiss of a lance. Then there's merit in it. Then it is a noble calling. And then they will understand who their patron is. The founder of the Red Cross, of the real Red Cross. Camillus. Camillus of Lelis. Born around 1550. Developed a hospital system. One of the first ones to develop field ambulances. Always sick, and yet he cared for the sick all of his life. Founded a congregation of the sick. When he was born, his mother had a vision of her child. The child had a red cross on his breast. And there were children following her own child. And she thought that that meant that her child was to be a bandit. And these children were seeking his execution. Later on it developed that he was to found the real Red Cross, one with faith in it. He went back and discovered that Constantine, who saw the cross in the sky, also founded the Knights of the Cross. And all the crusaders in their great mission wore a red cross on their cloaks. And when he founded his community, he put a red cross on each of them, remind them that they were to mortify themselves as their Savior mortified himself. One day he was afraid that possibly his organization was failing, and the Lord spoke to him and said, coward, go ahead. This is my work, not thine. May all who follow that noble profession understand the meaning of the Red Cross. Red, because it's sacrifice born of the love of God. And the cross, because it is love, the love of the Savior. And if that be the nobility of the noble, or rather the nobility of nursing, then a word about doctors and their great calling too. Doctors need not have incisions. But a doctor should have, first of all, reverence for personality. Personality, not individuality. There's a world of difference between personality and individuality. For example, this piece of chalk is an individual piece of chalk, but it is not a person. You go to the grocery store and buy oranges, you say, this is a bad one, give me another one. A tube gives out in your radio set, you buy another tube. Unless you have an Admiral, then you don't have to buy one. So individuals are replaceable. An individual is instrumental. An individual is only a means to an end. But a person is irreplaceable. Unique. No one in all the world can take the place of your mother. No one can ever substitute for any other person in the world. And a doctor treats persons. And a person is sacred. Sacred, first of all, because his body is a temple. Then it is a soul that came from God. And that soul, and this whole personality is worth more than the created universe. What doth it profit a man to gain the whole world? Lose his soul. Then that soul, too, was redeemed by the precious blood of the Savior. And therefore, every single person in the world is sacred. And the dignity of the medical profession is that it deals with God's noblest creatures to relieve, as far in as is possible, the heritages and the effect of sin, which is pain, and which is disease. Therefore, a doctor, a good doctor, will always be opposed to this idea that was introduced by the Nazis. A terrible idea. It was called merciful killing. To say that killing is merciful is just like speaking of honest thievery. Virtuous rape. Hilarious income tax. It's a contradiction in terms. In 1936, Hitler decided to introduce this idea into Germany. And of course, people like that never introduce ideas of that kind without always covering it up with some very high-sounding charitable name. And he called it a charitable organization for the institutional. And he asked that all of those who could not be a benefit to society should be killed. There was some protest. Do you know how many were killed by Hitler? This does not include the non-Aryans. He killed, until the outbreak of the war, 275,000 people. Once the door was open for destroying the sanctity of a single personality, then you had this slaughter. Merciful killing, he called it. You know what it is? It's suicide plus murder. He combined within himself two of the most awful crimes that humanity knows the crime of Judas and also the crime of Cain. The doctors naturally rebelled against this idea, as all doctors in our own country would also rebel against it. And they would do so simply because they knew that there must never be any kind of legalized taking of a life. They say that this is justified on the ground that, well, happiness and suffering are incompatible. They are not incompatible. In some individuals, happiness and suffering are incompatible. But I have known some suffering people who are very happy. I think one of the happiest persons I ever met in my life was a leper woman in the Caribbean. As soon as I shook hands with her, full of radiant joy, I said, "You're very happy." She said, "There isn't a happier person in the world." Now, when people have nothing to live for, when they've forgotten their destiny and their real worth, then sometimes happiness and suffering are incompatible. Suffering can be a purgation. And then they say, "Well, this crime of Hitler is justified on the ground that these people are no longer useful to society." No longer useful? Then how about our veterans in Korea that have lost their arms and their legs? Are they not useful to society? Are they not giving us examples of heroism? For what have they fought? Oh, they come back with stumps. They're reminding us that there are some things that are very precious in life and one must suffer for them. And then once we begin taking a life simply because we say that it is not useful to the state, then we'll begin to take the lives of this person and that, saying that his ideas are opposed to our own. This crime that was introduced by Hitler has shocked the doctors of the world. They would never bow down to it, particularly those who have taken, and almost all of them have, that oath of Hippocrates. Remember, Hippocrates lived in the 5th century before Christ. Think of it. Now, see how idealistic was this great physician. And this is the oath that is taken in many medical schools. "I will use treatment to help the sick according to my ability and judgment, but never with a view to injury and wrongdoing. Neither will I administer a poison to anybody when asked to do so, nor will I suggest such a course. Similarly, I will not give to a woman a means to cause abortion, but I will keep pure and holy, both in my life and in my art. I will not use the knife, not even verily on sufferers from stone, but I will give place to such as are craftsmen therein. Into whatsoever house I will enter to help the sick, I will abstain from all intentional wrongdoing and harm, especially from abusing the bodies of man or woman, bond or free. And whatsoever I shall hear or see in the course of my profession, as well as outside of my profession, in my intercourse with men, if it be what should not be published abroad, I will never divulge, holding such things to be holy secrets. Now, if I carry out this oath and break it not, may I gain forever reputation among all men for my life and for my art. But if I transgress it and forswear myself, may the opposite befall me." That's the physician 5 centuries before Christ. May it be the motto of those who have inherited a great Christian tradition. And then in addition to that, we might also say that the doctor is to practice personalized medicine. That is in contrast to socialized medicine. Personalized medicine. There's a world of difference between nature and humanity. Nature is concerned only with species. The individuals may perish. Humanity is concerned with persons, not with species. and thousands of ants perish, what is important according to nature is that the species survive. Hitler took over this idea, and he says that what is important is that the Germanic race survive. And the individuals outside of that race are unimportant. The species alone matters. Lenin and Stalin and Malenkov have taken it too, and they have said that what is important is the class. And all individuals outside of the revolutionary class are to be liquidated. But the doctor, or rather now, they are saying that what is important only is social health. Not personal health. That is not true. Social health is conditioned only upon individual health. And if a doctor would leave any patient simply because he could not pay for his care, or because he was apparently incurable, or for any other reason, in order to serve the abstract claims of society, he would be selling the pass. Therefore, may the doctors realize that the greatest of all professions, one that was sanctified by our blessed Lord. Luke, who wrote the third gospel, was a physician. And Luke, describing the message of our blessed Lord, said that he sent out his apostles to preach and to heal. It was interesting that Luke, who always used medical terms such as for the needle, he used the word baloney, meaning surgical needle, while the others used raphis, which only meant a sewing needle. It is interesting that Luke, the physician, should set that down. He meant that those who are preaching the word of God and that those who are caring for bodies are about the only professions now that are left in the world that care for persons. This is how democracy survives, by recognizing the worth of personalities. And may these two professions always be comrades in arms, marching together for the health of soul and body of persons.
Some years ago when I was in the Orient, I noticed that camels were always burdened when they were on their knees. That is to say, they took their burdens on their knees. That might not be a bad idea for us, to take our burdens on our knees. Bye now. God love you.